Welcome to my channel. My name is Emmy from Emmy Evolving. If this is your first time joining me, thank you for finding me. If this is not your first time, thank you for coming back. So we're about to have a little conversation. When I asked what this conversation was going to be about, what I heard is so many options laid out before you. So there's quite a few different options. I guess you're going through something right now. It doesn't feel like it's a bad thing, but it feels like something where you need to make some decisions. So let me just get some cards. So part of the way that your soul is getting you to see gravity of the circumstance and the decisions you need to make, it's creating several different types of setbacks, inconveniences, hardship. I don't know that you're doing something wrong. I don't know that you're not listening. This seems more like a type of guidance that your soul is trying to provide you while simultaneously trying to be as hands-off as possible. So security in reverse. One of the things that could potentially be happening is that you're feeling uncertain. You're feeling very unsure, unsafe. That's a hard thing to deal with. If you feel, insecure, not just actual security, it might be that you're feeling insecure. I think your soul is trying to get you to really commit to a decision you made some time ago. And to bring that decision deep into the soil of your creation. It's asking you to commit. What do you need to commit to? That's really the question, right? What is it that you've been doing? What are the things that you've been focused on? I feel like this is something that maybe you partially committed like a year, 2 years ago. And then maybe it's something where in the last few months, your commitment has been wavering. You see, I think what's happening is you have the potential to turn this into a circumstance that is like a dream situation for you. All the things that you've worked for, all the things that you want, all of that, it's like so close to happening. So close to happening. And because things haven't quite been going your way, your energy, your commitment to it has probably been waxing and waning, right? Like, yes, no, yes, no. And now your soul is absolutely initiating a period where it's challenging you. It's almost forcing you into a space of, no, I'm going to do this no matter what. Right? No matter what, that type of feeling where you're not going to let any of your fears, your insecurities, or anything like that be something that gets you to withdraw your commitment from what you're doing. If you choose to withdraw, coming this autumn, it's probably going to start soon. It's probably something that's already kind of begun. It's going to make you feel some type of way about yourself and about your journey. There is something so just difficult and hurtful to self when you've spent so much time, so much energy trying to do something. And right as you're at the cusp of seeing results, you say, no, never mind. I'm not worth it. It's not worth it. You're allowed to change your mind, but is this a matter of you changing your mind? Or is this more a matter of you feeling defeated before you've even lost? Okay, so using my life as an example, right? Because of the recurring injury that I was, struggling through the last several months, actually since December, so all of 2025. I've lost about 20 pounds. And some of you might be like, oh my God, that's so good. No, it's not good. I didn't lose 20 freaking pounds of fat. I lost 20 pounds of muscles. My entire shape is different. I'm flabby everywhere. Like, it's not even the aesthetics of it that's upsetting to me. It's the fact that I'm aware how long, how much effort, how much commitment, how much pain it took for me to get to that point, to develop to that point, to grow to that point. And I was so committed, and something beyond my control happened multiple times. And then I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to eat right. And all the muscle is gone. And that's frustrating. And even just today, I was like, you know, I'm kind of in a gray zone where it's like, I have to decide, am I going to push through and commit to regaining what I lost? Or am I just going to be like, you know, F it, I don't even care. Go back to my old eating pattern, which is not a good one. And I know if I do that, I'm going to drop a lot of weight. And I'm going to be looking rather emaciated. Like, what do I want? That's me giving up before I even had the opportunity to try and rebuild to what I was doing. And for those that don't understand, maybe, you know, you're new to me. My workouts consisted of lifting very heavy. When I say very heavy, on average, I would lift anywhere from 75,000 to maybe 100, 150,000 pounds in one workout. Today, I was only able to lift 13,000. And I was just like, okay, I need to stop. I need to make sure I don't push myself too hard. So it's a huge difference. What am I going to choose? Am I going to choose to give up on a goal just because there was a setback? And yeah, this was a big setback, but it's just a setback nonetheless. I still have the knowledge of what I need to do, the exercises, the commitment, the macros. That's still with me. The drive is still with me. My body's ability to synthesize protein into muscle is still with me. The muscle is still there. It's hella small. It is. It's very small. But it's still there. So that's a decision you have to make. No one can tell me whether I should continue with that goal or not. But if I don't continue with something that I really, really wanted to do at least just once, well, that's on me. It's on you whether you're going to continue or not. But that disappointment, that frustration, that sense of you gave up on yourself, that's not a good thing to give yourself. That sense of I gave up on myself. The older we get, we naturally lose muscle. It's not fun. Here's the thing. That can be overridden. Was it called sarcopenia or sarcopedia? Something like that. Right? You can override that. And many, many studies show that increased mass, muscle mass in the legs and hips are directly indicative of the length of life you will live. So am I doing a goal strictly to compete with people half my age? I'm pushing 50. With people half my age, is that the goal? To show up and be in better shape than someone in their 20s. That was not the goal. The goal was to overcome my own perception of my limitations. So if I'm going to give up on that goal, right, and it is a very lofty goal, all the ladies who are competing, they all want it real bad. If I give up on that goal, what am I really giving up on? Just standing on stage in a bikini? That I don't even want to wear? Or am I giving up on my goal to be the fittest I've ever been, to go through this journey of learning myself, my limitations, and how to care for myself properly while I allow myself to continue to increase in vitality? There's many, many ladies who have gone ahead and started their bodybuilding in their 60s, in their 70s, and they do real well. They do real well. The whole thing with my journey had more to do with addressing my health than it did at the very start about competing. it had more to do with addressing my health. If I give up on that, I give up on my health. Whatever it is that you're thinking of giving up on, it's so much more than what you're allowing yourself to recognize it to be. It's so much more, so much more. You think like, oh, I wanted to start my own company. I wanted to provide a service. And it's something that I really, really want to do. It makes me so happy. It makes me feel fulfilled. But I don't think anyone wants it, so I'm not going to do it. That tangible good that you're making, that service that you're providing, I think for many people, they don't realize in some way, shape, or form, people purchasing whatever it is you're selling is your equivalent of getting that confirmation that you are worth it. You do have a value. This is like a really complex topic, and most people don't realize what exactly they're giving up on. They don't want to look at it from a more clarified perspective. It's like, it's not that serious. It's just this. It's just that. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. These decisions that you're making, they're setting you up for the next part of your journey. When you make decisions that disregard you, disregard your desires, your goals, these things that you're willing to work so hard for, it's another way that you just disregard yourself. It's another way that you tell yourself, that you convince yourself, that you reaffirm this very distorted belief that everyone else deserves this but you. That's bullshit right there. So using my life again as an example and as an analogy, I know exactly why I lost 20 pounds of muscle. Someone will probably assume, well, because you were injured and you couldn't work out. No, that's not why. I didn't allow myself to receive the type of macros that I need. I have to eat a ridiculous amount of protein because of the way my metabolism is. I have to eat a ridiculous amount of protein that I would not normally eat in order to hold on to what I work so hard for. So using that as an analogy, do you continue to prevent yourself from receiving the support, the love, the kindness, the confirming words from people? Because when someone compliments you on a job well done, you're like, oh, they're probably just nice. They're being nice to me. They probably tell everyone that. Or maybe they're telling you the truth. And then you wonder why you don't feel strong enough to lift the weight that you need to lift. Maybe you just need to do what you need to do, which is what? Allow yourself to receive. Allow yourself to take in what's already being offered and allow that to be synthesized and made a part of your internal strength. You're only as weak as you choose to be. People will come up with all of these reasons as to why they can't do this, why they can't do that, why they're not ready, why this, why that, why this, why that. I don't want to hear any of that. Whenever I speak to someone, and usually my husband is the poor recipient of this attitude, I don't want to hear what's wrong. We know what's wrong. Tell me what you're going to do to fix it. I don't want to hear the problem. We know what the problem is. I want to hear potential solutions and how you've tried to implement those potential solutions and the viability of those options. If you're going to continue to live your life in such a way where all you're fixated on is the problems, the setbacks, the things that aren't working right, you will not achieve anything. People don't want to hear that. They want to hear niceties. They want sugar-coated things like, it's okay, you're trying your best. Are you trying your best? I doubt it. Because you have no idea how much you can achieve. Why? Because you never even let yourself try. You never even let yourself try. How do you even know what you can achieve if that's how you live? Or because someone else did it better than you. They had to start somewhere. You're looking at the end result of their commitment to the process they were in. They had to start somewhere. You can't compare yourself. Again, using myself as an example. I cannot compare myself to these other ladies who have spent five, six, 7 years building their physique, training their body to be able to do what it is that they do. I can't do that. Why? Because that's not fair. It's not fair for me to compare myself, my journey, my health, my physique to a woman who's reached the top of her game and she competes in Olympia. That's like nonsensical. Does that mean that I'm going to disregard their accomplishment? No, I'm going to allow what I see in someone else. What I see that's intended to intimidate me based on society's programs, I'm going to see that as like, fuck yeah, girl. How much do you work out? What type of split sets are you doing? What type of, tell me what you do, girl. I'm inspired. And maybe if you shift the way you see other people and their accomplishments, you'll be able to achieve even more. And maybe where you need to start is getting rid of that whole compete compare program to begin with. Why? Because that's what's messing you up. You're trying to achieve what someone else has. They have different genetics than you. They have different genetics than you. That's the bottom line. They have a different way of existing than you. Even if someone was to tell me what they do, it's not going to have the same effect on me. My body will respond differently. Just like my mind responds differently, just like my energy responds differently. Part of what needs to happen is you need to see the options that are being presented to you are options that are just for you. And so if you're going to think about, oh, what would so-and-so do if they were in my position? It doesn't matter what they would do. You give me the same criteria, the same circumstance as the person beside me. I promise you, the two of us will do something completely different with it. One of the best examples of this, I had a photography associate. He had his own warehouse for his day job that he kind of uses as a makeshift photography studio. This was many, many years ago when I was doing professional photography. And I just, you know, I didn't want to shoot on location. We were going to start later in the day. And it's just kind of like, oh, I need to make sure I shoot indoors. So I asked my then associate, can I borrow your studio? He's like, yeah, no, sure. Come on, just let me know what time. I'll give you the keys. You can lock it up. We'll meet the next morning. Give me the keys when you're done. You know, just clean up after yourself. You can use it. And I was like, you know, thank you. Thank you. So here's the thing. He had money. He had the budget to buy the fancy cameras. He had the professional gear. He had the extremely expensive lights. And I'm over here shooting with a Sony DSLR. The lens was not detachable at the time. And I was using Alien B lights. Those are like, they work. They work. So I go and I use his studio. I didn't use his lights just because I wasn't sure how to work it. I go ahead and I use what he called my Mickey Mouse gear. And it's like, your gear is so cute. It's like such a hobby type. I'm like, okay. Anyways, so I go ahead and I use his studio. I have the model come. I do hair. I do makeup. I do wardrobe. And I also do the creative direction. And I churn out maybe 700 images. Out of that 700, 800 images, I like maybe 3 or 4. And the raw image, I show my friend. He's like, how the hell did you make this picture happen? Like, what do you mean? I told her what to do, and then I took the picture. And he's like, I would have never done this. I said, oh, what would you have done? He's like, not this. Holy moly. And I was like, do you not like it? He was like floored. He loved it. He's like, how'd you get that girl to fit in there? Because there was this, the entryway had like a little drawer type furniture thing that was very narrow. And I moved that into the studio and I had her fit under there. He's like, how the hell did you? It was probably like this narrow. You're like, how the hell did you get her in there? She's a yogi. I told her to go in there. I told her to do whatever yoga stuff she need to do and go in there. It's like, I would have never thought of doing that. Yeah, because their brains think differently. This is someone who, he did all the like master classes for photography and, you know, all of that. And here I am with my little rinky dinky Mickey Mouse camera. And I was still able to churn out professional images. I was working with girls who were in agencies. These were agency models that needed a portfolio. So the agencies sometimes will contact me, or the girls will contact me directly. And I build an entire portfolio for them using my hobby camera. Why was I able to do that? Because I didn't have anyone telling me I wasn't supposed to be able to do that. I didn't have someone telling me I couldn't commit to honing a craft that I knew nothing about, had no experience in, and hone that to the degree that it's published work, international published work. I did not know that. And no, I didn't do that for several years. My husband got me the camera, and within 2 months, my work was published. Why? I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be able to do that. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be able to charge people a day rate as a photographer, as a makeup artist, as a hairstylist, as a wardrobe stylist without having the education. To this day, you can hand me any camera and I can produce some beautiful fucking pictures because it's my heart creating the image. And I'm just using the gear to bring to manifest form what I see in my heart. And I let you see it. That's why my work is so different. But to this day, you can give me any camera. You give me enough time, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, I'll figure out how to use it. But if you ask me what I did, I won't be able to tell you. I don't know shit about aperture, f-stops, exposure, or any of that. I just will tinker with a camera until it produces the type of image that I want. And then I'll tell the model exactly what to do. I didn't know you're not supposed to be able to do that. You know how I found out? It wasn't from that friend. It was from another friend. That other friend did have the fine arts degree. They got a bachelor's degree in college. And they got the Canon 5D, which was the hot shit camera back then. It did 16 megapixels, which was a huge deal back then. And he brought me on board as a makeup artist because he knew that I worked makeup. What ended up happening, it was too hard. A stay-at-home mom is too hard for me to work with his schedule, my kids' schedule, and then the model's schedule. So out of just pure support for me, my husband bought me that camera. And he was like, just do it yourself. I was like, I don't know how to take pictures. And within 2 months of that, my work was published. A year later, I come across my friend. This is someone I went to high school with. We're like catching up. And I'm over here thinking like, if I was able to progress like that, I'm sure he was able to progress like, wow. See, his work's good. He does avant-garde though. He does a different style. And we're talking and he's like, wait, people pay you? I was like, yeah. Don't they pay you? No. I was like, why wouldn't they pay you? Why are you doing everything for free? And then he got real upset. I haven't talked to him since. That was years ago. Even though the value of your work is extremely high, you churn out quality work, a quality service, a quality product. If you don't value it, you are teaching people what value you have. You know, once upon a time, I came across one of my graphics that I created. And it was when I was first allowing myself to be publicly visible. It was this thing of, I will do a Claire Tarot reading for you for $25. And I cried. I cried because I was so embarrassed. I did not think anyone would pay me $25 to tell them what cards are telling me. And I felt like if no one purchased it, which was what I thought would happen, it would confirm that I'm just full of shit and everyone can see through my fucking bullshit. I used to give sessions away. All my work was completely for free for quite a few years. Did you know one time years ago, I restored someone's vision? I didn't realize they were having vision problems. And I was like on a live stream and I brought them on the live stream with me and they started crying. And I was like, are you okay? Did I hurt you? And they tell me that they're basically in the hotel room because they're about to have brain surgery the next day or something like that. And I didn't know, it was something along the lines of they were legally blind and I didn't know that. I just randomly brought someone onto the live stream with me. I didn't know that. And they were crying because they could see. I did that for free. I didn't think it was a big deal. It was just like, well, that's good. I mean, it's good, right? Like you want to see, that's good. It wasn't a big deal. This is what I do. This is my norm. What's the big deal about my norm? Yeah, and then there was someone who hadn't smelled since they developed COVID in 2020. And I think that was like last year. And I was like, can I try? I'm super curious if I could restore olfactory function. And then they were smelling their house. I was like, don't play with me. Are you serious? Because I'm believing you. I'm like super gullible sometimes. And I was believing them. And they were like, no, like I can smell. And I was like, oh, that's good. Again, for free. Because to me, this is no big deal. There's a value to it, though. There's a value to what I do. There's a value to what you do. If you don't understand that value, the options that you're going to choose for yourself, it's going to be something that's not in alignment with the actuality of what you deserve. I once had someone question me because I recently made etheric quantum medicine sessions available. And with that, the etheric medieval that I do, private session, I think it's like, I don't know, $1,800 or $1,900. And someone was like, you're crazy for charging that. What's your doctor charge you to not help you? How much do you pay to not get help, to mask the symptoms? How much is your health worth? Because the issue isn't a lack of value for the work that I do. My work is medically documented. That's not the issue. The issue is someone else's lack of value on their health. And if it's not aligned, it's not aligned. I'm not going to try and convince people that the pricing is priced proper. That's the thing. You can see the value in your work, but people don't have to agree. And just because they don't agree, it doesn't devalue your work. It just means they don't understand. Do you understand the value of what you do? Because the options you choose is based on your understanding of your value. For many years, I didn't understand my value at all. I gave literally everything away. Is this about like, oh, I could have made so much money? You guys, I was homeless. When I was doing that, I was homeless. I believe the lies that are shared on social media, these lies that, oh, if it's a gift, you got it for free from God, so we shouldn't have to pay you. Okay. Oh, I can have someone do this for me for $20. How dare you try and charge me $350? Go to them. That's okay. I'm not offended. I know my value. And even the prices that I charge right now, that's not the actuality of the value. I base my pricing on what I would pay if I was still homeless. What would I pay? Knowing this person could do what I do, what would I pay them as I'm still homeless? That's how my prices were set. The options that you select have to be aligned with what it is you're needing to do in this life, or else none of this comes home to you. Not your abundance, not your peace. You are not going to be stabilized. You are not going to feel fulfilled. None of those things. Think about it. You're tiptoeing around someone else's feelings who disregards you, disregards your value. You know, people will try and tell me sometimes, it's rare, but people will try and tell me sometimes that, you know, I'm fucked up because I gatekeep the information I teach in my academy. you can learn things for yourself. There's information on the internet. You want to learn what I teach? That's not available on the internet. You say, I wasn't taught this. I enter this life knowing how to do everything I do. You want that knowledge, which goes against everything you'll find online. You're going to have to purchase the workshop. Why? Because I've already seen what people do when I openly release the information I teach. They fucked it up for everyone. I'm going to be responsible and only allow those who are also responsible to learn from me. Absolutely. I have no shame in that anymore. Not everyone is cut out to be a good person. And I have to do the responsible thing when it comes to teaching the type of information I teach. And people will say, oh my God, this girl's so full of herself. Wait until I introduce you to my students. Then you'll see why I'm so cocky about my information. My students are fucking badass. Not only are they badass, they have integrity and ethics. My God, that's a killer combo right there. That is a killer combo right there. Absolutely. So the options, let's see what they are. Yeah, you can't do that anymore. Yep. Okay, someone got really deep in your head. Someone who's jealous of you. Sometimes the jealousy directed at you begins as a child. Oftentimes, let's be real. Oftentimes, the jealousy that you experience from other people, it calibrates you and it makes you so much more sensitive to external sources of jealousy, once again, directed at you. And the more you notice it, the more you draw more of that to you. So for many people, this started in childhood. An adult was intimidated by your capacity. They could not control you. They tried and they couldn't. And so rather than approaching you in a different way, they went ahead and started an entire program of convincing you that you're a pain in the ass, that you're an issue, and all of these other things. Are you a pain in the ass, or are you powerful beyond control of others? Which one is it? You see, my father, for a period of my life, he said my nickname is PITA. P-I-T-A, PITA. Does anyone want to ask me what PITA means? Pain in the ass. My nickname was Pain in the Ass. I don't think I was a pain in the ass. I think I was a pain in his ass. Hey, be a narcissist with someone else. Not going to work with me. Even as a child, not going to work with me. You're going to have your fucking hands full. So these people, they're probably adults. They went ahead and tried to convince you to make you easier to control. You reacted in one of two ways. You fawned and agreed, or you got pissed off and you rebelled. If you got pissed off and you rebelled, that was more and more and more and more and more. That was placed in your head over and over and over and over. I was a second type. I was a second type. And you know, I've never deleted those recordings. Why? It gives me something to rebel against. Are you kidding me? I don't have a relationship with my father, but whenever I hear his soundtrack begin to play in my head, this soundtrack of like, you're never going to amount to anything and this and that. And then I'm like, oh, fuck you. Watch me. That unless I give him dominion over me, that I will never accomplish anything. That I would need him to bankroll anything that I try and do, whether it's a business, my education, or any of that, or else it's going to fail. Daddy dearest, I believe as of right now, I am the president of 5 companies and 1 faith-based organization. I'm in the process of turning my academy into a university. I'm wildly successful. Why? Because fuck you. Fuck you. That's why. I hear that recording. Okay. Let me fucking show you. Let me show you. There were a couple times, I don't think I've ever shared this. I was in the process of increasing the weight of what I'm lifting. And, you know, I have Ehlers-Danlos. I'm older. My joints are destabilized. I should not be able to lift what I was lifting back then. And it was this thing. I stacked the plates on. I was going to do leg press. And it was like these 45-pound plates. And I was like, oh my God, what if I hurt myself? Because it was over 1,000 pounds. That was just last winter before I got injured and lost all my muscle. And I'm just looking at it like, the fuck? I'm gonna hurt myself. Oh my God, what if I can't do it? And you know what happened? I heard my father's voice in my head. He's like, what are you trying to prove? You're so stupid. Well, let me put a couple more plates on there. As a matter of fact, let me fucking record this. Fuck you. And I recorded it here. Hold on. It was at this point. I was like, fuck you. Fuck you. Show him, girl. Show him. Fuck him. I haven't even talked to him for years. Fuck him. Do it. Do it. Push it. Those are 45-pound plates. The sled itself, I think, is 167 pounds. I should probably tell you guys, over 20 years ago, I was told by an orthopedic surgeon I needed double total knee replacement when I was 25 years old, and that I wouldn't be able to walk by the end of the year. I didn't get the surgery. Because fuck him too. He said my knees look like I was 80. Fuck you. Let me show you what I could do. So yeah, no, don't delete those recordings. Those recordings give you a better idea of what you need to fight against, because the things that happened to you in childhood are the things that are still limiting you right now. And if you can be aware of those limits, those are the things you can hammer away at until you prove to yourself and no one else. It does not matter who's fucking watching or if anyone's watching at all. Those are the things you hammer away at until you can show yourself you're not bound by that anymore. And you know what the crazy thing is? You see here my dad say these crazy ass things to me and my sibling, everyone really, my entire childhood. And like, I remember I was having a conversation with my sibling who still has a relationship with him just a few months back. And he randomly brings up our father, and he knows I don't want to talk about him. And he shares with me that he shared with my father the work that I do. And my father says to him, I'm not surprised. Because I believe I had said to my brother, everything I achieve in life, I do in spite of him. I'm not a byproduct of his insecurities. I'm not a byproduct of his fear, his lashing out, his abuse. I'm not a byproduct of that. I am my own person. And then that's when my brother shared with me that he did share with our father some of the things that he's aware of that I accomplished, which he doesn't know much of what I do. And, you know, my father said, I'm not surprised that your sister we're talking about. I always knew she would achieve a lot. He always knew. The people in your earlier life that said all of these really fucked up things to you. The people in your earlier life who said all of these really fucked up things to you that have limited you, that have got you all messed up in your head about what you're capable of and what you deserve and this and that. Yeah. He, of course, never said that to me. He said that to my brother. This acknowledgement that he's aware. Since I was a child, he was aware. And maybe that's why they do and say the things they do and say to you. Because they're aware. They're aware that you can and will do things they're incapable of. They can never follow you there. I've had several people in my life that have served that purpose. That have tried to convince me. And it's their jealousy that speaks, but it's them that I love. And because I love them, I allow their jealousy to infiltrate and distort my perception of myself. And then one day I woke up and I was like, no, fuck that. What I accomplished for myself is for myself. It's not something that I did to show you that I deserve to be loved by you. I don't give a shit if you love me anymore. Because now I love me. And maybe that's all you needed to do. Maybe that's the option that you need to choose. Because look, unconditional love, celebration, and shadow self, all of these things right here, you're not willing and you're not capable of loving yourself through all your phases, all the stages of your growth. You refuse to celebrate yourself. You refuse to look at your shadow. Why? Because you have these people that talk like they know something about you. They like to sound as though they're intelligent and they're an authority over you. And they convince you that your shadow, where all of your power is hidden, by the way, that it's evil. And if you delve into that and access some of your power that was given to you by God, you're evil. How many of you on social media have witnessed over the years people saying I'm fucking evil? That I'm evil. That I'm wicked. Why? Because people who tried to destroy me were unsuccessful, so they wilded it out and involved others. Even though I didn't retaliate, I'm evil. Because I don't speak enough about how I've helped so many people. I don't even know who I've helped. Thousands, thousands. And I'm not just talking about with live streams where I'm speaking openly. I'm talking about all the free work I've done, all that money that I've given away. I don't talk about those things. Why? Because to me, I didn't do it for clout. I didn't do it to prove anything. I did it because my heart said it needed to be done. It needed to be done. I mean, shit. The emotion comes from knowing there's more people that need more help. And I need to do more. I want to do more. And it doesn't matter how long I've known you. I just don't want suffering. And I know I can do more, but I haven't yet. The people you listen to don't give a fuck about you. And the people who actually genuinely care. I'm not the only one. These nasty ass fucking people do it too. They go out of their way to tear people like me down. It doesn't hurt my feelings that they don't like me. It frustrates me to no end that they're interfering with my desire to simply help. And, you know, I don't need or want pity. It's just this thing that whenever this thought of someone I don't know existing is suffering somewhere and I could easily help, that's just unbearable. My mindset is even, hate me all you want, talk shit about me all you want, just don't fucking get in the way of me helping people. Stay out of my way. Stay out of the way of people who have the capacity, the desire, the ability to help others. Stay out of the fucking way. Keep your fucking clout. I'm not interested in clout. I'm interested in being the change that I want to see. I won't be able to achieve that if I don't choose the things that are aligned to make that possible. Same thing applies for you. What is your purpose? I'm not here to save the world. I'm here to reconstruct it. I'm not here to salvage a system that was designed to oppress. I'm here for the dismantling of it. I am here to watch it crash and burn, and in its place, something that serves all will be erected. And I just want to play my part. I'm not going to do it alone. I just want to play my part. Whatever that might be, I just want to play my part. I don't need credit. I don't need anyone to know my name. I just want to do what I'm here to do. So every choice that I make, it has to be aligned with a facilitation of that purpose. Notice how I'm not here to save the world. You are not here to save the world. You are not here to save other people from the consequence, the end result of their actions, their thoughts, the options they choose. And I know some people will receive that as like, oh, you're just going to let people do whatever they want? Yeah. But I promise you, if I see you fucking with someone, if I see that, you're going to have a whole motherfucking problem with me. You can do whatever you want because I'm going to do whatever I want. And if I see you fucking with someone, you're going to have a whole motherfucking problem with me. I might be small, but I'm fucking formidable. Allowing people to use their sovereignty and knowing I can use my own. Just because you choose to be hurtful and harmful to someone doesn't mean I have to sit there and just watch it. Use your power over yourself and your journey and do it in such a way that your human life creates stillness for you. Why is stillness important? Because until you allow the stillness, you'll continue to see things in a distorted way. So your soul is talking about your expectation of yourself. Your expectation of yourself is not aligned because you refuse to see how bright you actually are. You were designed to shine very bright. Here's the thing. One of my subspecialties is parasitic extraction. I'm on hiatus from it, but it is still one of my subspecialties. And the thing is this, I know demonic behavior very, very well. I'm very familiar with their modus operandi. And when your light shines bright, it draws demonic things towards you. If you don't allow your light to shine as bright as it's intended to, the demonic things will fuck with your life. So what's the solution? To hide yourself? No, that's not a solution. That tells them you're ripe for the harvest if you do. That broadcast to demonic thing infiltration, and they will breach you and they will use you to hurt and harm other people. So what did I find as a solution? Not only are you supposed to shine bright, you are supposed to shine as bright as you were designed to, meaning although demonic things can see you, your light is so bright, it blinds them and they have no chance of approaching you. See how simple that is? The reason you struggle on your spiritual journey is because you are averse to allowing your light to shine so bright, because guess what? You've seen what happens when people's light shines bright. A year ago, you guys saw what happened when a certain individual, several individuals saw how bright my light shined. I didn't even know they existed. I did not know these people existed, yet they went ahead and they leveraged their considerable following. They had, I don't know, like 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 followers on TikTok. They leveraged that to try and bully me, to attack me, because they were too fucking cowardly to do it themselves. So they involved other people. I don't give a shit. You got nothing to do with me. Say whatever you want. You know, you want to harvest from my community? No. So my community, stay out of it. It's bullshit. If you have something to say, community, say on my post. Don't go on their post. Don't click on their shit. Don't respond. Didn't react in the way they were hoping. Why? It's kind of hard to harvest energy that you don't have access to. I know how demons work. No, I'm not a Luciferian priestess. I'm actually what society would classify as a sorceress. A sorceress, by definition, is someone who is born with a power. They're born with their abilities turned on, the knowledge accessible to them. They don't need to be taught. They just need to spend time in their life to cultivate what's already present. So technically, if you need to label me as something, I would prefer you label me accurately and refer to me as a sorceress. If you need labels like that. By trade, I am a morphogenetic recodement engineer. I'm able to repattern standing scalar waves by wave by location. I don't ever have to meet the person, hear their voice, or see them. I don't even need to know your name. I just need to know you exist. And then I can access your code down to core level, repattern that in such a way that it restores the original design. And once the original design is restored, much of your physiological and psychological disturbances, those are symptomatic presentation of distorted etherogenetics. If it's restored, those symptoms go away. Yeah. I'm not an energy worker. They keep, social media keeps trying to shove me in these labels of spiritualist, energy worker. I'm not any of those things. And if people want to ask, you know, can you prove? I have quite a few medical documents, medical diagnostic testing from quite a few people confirming the end result, and it's medically unexplainable. And the most profound one, end-stage heart failure, stage D heart failure. Only plausible solution is heart transplant. The patient was being prepared for LVAD surgery. Their ejection fraction rate was down to 7%, single digit, 7%. Enlarged left ventricle, it was a mess. Person was basically on death's door. And we were able to reverse that completely. In August of 2020, they were given 3 days to 3 weeks to live. It is now August of 2025. Not only are they still alive, they avoided having LVAD surgery. Their ejection fraction rate jumped up to the point where they're no longer classified as heart failure. They've been removed from their medications. They've been released from cardiac care, and they live in life, baby. They live in life. Yeah. I have all the documentation for that. Not only were we able to stabilize the heart, increase the ejection fraction rate, we were able to go ahead and regenerate cardiac tissue in the left ventricle. No significant findings. I have blood tests. I have ultrasounds, CAT scans, MRIs, everything. Everything. Doctors have no idea what happened. I'll tell you what happened. I happened. I happened. And I did that for free. I mean, I can't charge my sibling. I can't fucking charge him. Yeah, I can't charge him. But I've worked on more than just family. I've worked on many, many, many people. And if you are someone that I've worked on and you want to share a portion of what you've experienced, I've worked with successfully resolving pronounced, prolonged substance addiction struggles. Even with opiates and barbiturates, like those who are able to, I ask that you have registered nurse who's capable of making sure you're stabilized. I could do rapid detoxification of the body without ever having met you. I can do things that prevent the chemical substance from attaching. And before I move forward, I want to make it clear, none of the work that I do in my existence, it does not negate the existence of divinity. I'm not here as the antithesis to Jesus and God. I know people want to present me as that, but I'm not. I'm actually living proof that divinity exists. That's how I see it. I am living proof that there is a divinity that exists and that there are those who are tasked by this divinity, by God, to perform specific types of work to facilitate. That's it, just facilitate. I take no credit for it. You haven't been efficient in allowing yourself to depend on yourself. You've been counting on the very people who don't give you permission to succeed beyond what they gave you permission to reach. That's not acceptable. You have to allow yourself to get to the point where you are the authority over yourself and you're deciding how far you will allow yourself to go. So for some reason, what's ESKD? Messenger 11111. Messenger 1111. Don't get me started. I have a session starting soon. Hold on. Let me see. What's ESKD? End stage kidney disease. It has to do with fear. Fear. The emotions are trapped inside. It's cycling through his kidneys. You also need to look into the use of therapeutic levels of real cordyceps, not the cheaper stuff. This is expensive. Okay. Real cordyceps, you need to completely remove all grains and all dairy to eliminate that inflammatory portion. If you do all of that with the real cordyceps, that's very expensive, but it can absolutely reverse some of this. And I'll tell you, when you begin to process the emotions that are being presented as symptoms within the body, because the body is used as a roadmap to show you the dysfunction within the emotions, the thoughts, and the way those things pattern the standing scalar waves that create your perception and your experience. When you resolve that, you can reverse it. Now, the further you are into the disease, the more it will take to reverse it. It's going to be a lot harder. So it will take effort. When I was taking care of my mom, so I was completely in charge of her care for quite a few months. She was going through dialysis at that point. It was 3 days a week dialysis. I moved her with me to another state. And there were some hiccups with transferring her medical coverage to the state that I was in. So she didn't get her dialysis. It was almost a week already. And I'm like, yo, she needs dialysis. And I was surprised because although she was going 3 times a week and it was already a week that she hadn't gotten dialysis, when we went to the ER for her to get treatment, they said, oh, her levels are still fine. So it in fact was beginning to reverse. It in fact was beginning to reverse. And she was getting real ballsy and real salty with me. She said I was a bully because I was making her take her meds. And it had a lot to do with the fact that she knew She can say whatever she wants to me. I will not walk away from her. I will continue to take care of her. So we were resolving some of that. And what's interesting is I was doing some research on what I could do to help support an accelerated reversal, more than just energy work. I wanted to provide supplementation and dietary changes that would facilitate. And the guy, the technician who was doing, he was an RN, he was doing her dialysis. And I was talking to him and then I was like, you know, can I ask you a random question? And he's like, sure. And I was like, have you ever had any of your patients attempt therapeutic doses of cordyceps? He immediately stopped what he was doing. And he slowly turned around and he looked at me. And he was like, now, I can't say much. But then he goes and shares, there was a patient and they did mention to him that they were going to start doing cordyceps. And he doesn't know what happened, but they stopped going to him. And I was like, so are we hypothetically wondering if their end stage kidney failure resolved? And he's like, because he can't say. He'll get in trouble if he says. So look into research that's been being done on wild-crafted cordyceps. Again, it's really pricey. But if, and it, I'm going to say something that might be offensive, okay? If he's not willing to do the emotional work, don't bother wasting the money. Just be present and support him. Because if he doesn't do the emotional work, that's what's causing the morphogenetic distortions that are then damaging the kidney. If you look at traditional Chinese medicine and see what the kidney is associated with in regards to emotion, what it governs, then you'll know exactly which emotion he is struggling with. I believe it's fear. I believe it's fear. Hold on. It might be worth it if you consider an etheric medi eval during the time when I do expedites. So a private session, I think I'm booked out a couple months still, but expedites, I do them several times throughout the week, usually Tuesdays. Tuesdays, Thursdays and Sundays. I probably can't do Thursday, but probably tomorrow I'll go live to do expedites. Select the etheric medi eval. And if he's open, then I can assess and I can start some work on him. If you approach it from different angles, morphogenetic recodement correction and bioregenesis, and then you put in the supplementation and then we're able to do a, and I'm not a licensed medical professional. That's very important for you to know, but I have also received cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. So that is already something that's been integrated even before I was under the care of someone. That's actually one of my core principles. I didn't know that there was a CBT. So we can have something like that where we approach it from different angles. And if you do it with the expedites, it's only $188 versus a private session, which is like $1,900. It's just shy of $1,900. I don't know the exact price. So it'd be much cheaper. And if it's something where there's a large amount of improvement, then we can start considering, okay, should we invest in that private session? Because I think it's like 2 hours long. And then you can consider whether it's worth it to invest in that. But I would prefer you do the expedite, which I will still do the same thing. It's just I can't sit with you as long since it's a public live stream. And then you can start looking into the use of cordyceps. I think that will be a nice like thing. Lupus is when you attack yourself. So he's afraid and he's attacking himself, probably because society tells men especially, that they're not allowed to feel fear. Fear is nothing but an advanced notification system of what you need to pay attention to. If you can leverage that fear, you can go ahead and cut off the potentiality for disease to take root in the body. One of the things like I had a tumor the size of my thumb growing on my cervix. Like, that's a fucking big tumor. Without doing anything, I simply shifted my mindset. That tumor was gone, and there was zero evidence of any type of dysplasia, any type of precancerous cells. Everything went back to normal. My doctor was like, "What the fuck?" I'm like, "Just chill. We not sick no more. Just chill." You know, medicines that are sacred can be misused. And when they're misused, they serve as a gateway for parasitic or demonic things to access the individual. I'm a huge proponent of MICROdose. MICRO microdose. But I mean, you have to be open to the experience positively impacting you. You can't be like spaz the F out. You have a bad time. You're going to have a bad time. You have to know what levels are therapeutic, and you have to be honest about your use of it. Are you using it for therapeutic purpose, medicinal purpose, or are you using it as a recreational thing? You know what I mean? I'm out. I must go. I'll tell you guys, all of these labels that have been affixed on you, these diagnoses and things like that, right? Especially mental health diagnoses. Those are identifications of an acute circumstance that, for whatever reason, has been allowed to prolong. Years ago, I was diagnosed with PTSD because some people are fucking crazy. I got diagnosed with PTSD. And my doctor, my treating physician, was phenomenal. And she was telling me that I had combat PTSD. She was a vet, and she treated veterans. So she began seeing me, she began treating me, and because of the work that I did for myself, I was able to sufficiently stabilize the PTSD within 3 months. Her prognosis at the start, because it was so extreme, like off the charts, that I would need at least 1 year of heavy medication. And then after that 1 year point, we needed to consider, you know, where I was at before we could even consider having a conversation about medication being dropped down, not stopped, but dropped down. And she kept telling me that I needed to be realistic about the very real potential that I would need to be on medication for the rest of my life. 3 months. Do I have PTSD? I've been diagnosed with PTSD, but I am not someone with PTSD. I was also diagnosed with depression years ago. Do I experience bouts of sadness? Sometimes, it depends on what's happening. Am I depressed? No. Had I continued to believe that prognosis that I would be depressed for my whole life, then yeah, I would still be. These are labels that are given to you to help you understand what you're currently struggling through. If you're able to address the emotions, the mental, and the physical, you can be done with that circumstance, and that label no longer applies to you. So when I was my treating physician for the PTSD, she's like, "You're not depressed." Yeah, I know. I know, I'm not depressed. But it's a thing of, if you believe that this label that's meant to help identify an acute circumstance is your identity, then you will fight everything and everyone to hold on to that identity. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you just need someone who's able to help you gain clarity on how capable you are and what you can move through and work through. I've helped people with stroke. I've helped people with neurological issues, central nervous system, periphery, like everything, everything you could possibly think of I've helped with. Is it always successful? It's only as successful as the person allows it to be. So if you're hell bent on proving that I can't do it, I mean, just don't waste your money. Don't waste your money. You know what I mean? Like, but if you really are like, I need help. I need someone who can help me, you know, overcome this. Like, I'm open. Tell me what I need to do. Tell me what it is within me that's allowing for this to continue. We can do some seriously powerful things. Seriously powerful things. I never violate someone's sovereignty. I won't override your fear and your commitment to remaining in that state of disease, that state of illness, that state of imbalance. I won't override that. If that's where you want to be, I will respect that. I'll be like, you know, you don't have to stay there, but I won't force you to leave it. Okay. I got to get going, guys. My sessions are starting. Please give this video a thumbs up. If you haven't already subscribed, please do subscribe. Turn on that notification bell. Join me when I'm live. If you guys are dealing with chronic pain, I have an event coming up in, I think, 3 days. It's a comfort care event for those on TikTok. You can find this on my bio, the link in my bio. Click on that and then look for the comfort care event. The comfort care event is where I'm going to be doing a virtual meditation slash group session. I will be working on everyone individually in that group session. It's not going to be publicly broadcast. It's on my private server. So with that, I work on everyone and I'm able to help with like chronic pain, fatigue, things like that. I have like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, issues with your digestion, things like that. I can definitely help. Oh, it's in 5 days. Thank you, Lindsay. So with that virtual event, the beautiful thing about my events, if you go to the virtual event, not only is it live, it's also recorded. So because it's recorded, you can rewatch it again. And don't tell anyone I told you this, but every single time you rewatch it, because it's calibrated to you, right? I'm working on each of you simultaneously, but individually. Every time you rewatch it, I'm working on you again. The energy is recorded. It's recorded. So it's like being able to have an unlimited amount of sessions where I'm working on, you know, neurological pain and all of those different things. There's also the enhanced ticket option where I could do nerve blocks. That's one of the things I can do that. I could do deep brain stimulation. Remember, one of my subspecialties is the CNS, the central nervous system. So there's ways to help get a lot of relief if you're constantly feeling pain. And then of course, I also have the Morphogenetic Fundamentals Workshop. This is where I teach the fundamentals of the system that I came into this life just knowing how to do. This will be, I believe, early September is when the Morphogenetic Fundamentals Workshop is. With this, this is a prerequisite for my certification program. I now have available the application for my certification program. I'm no longer just allowing people to purchase their entry into my certification program level one. You have to go through an application process with an interview and questions and, you know, testing to make sure that it's a proper fit. So like I said, everything's being put into place to convert my academy into a full-blown university. It's going to take some time. It is. But all of these things are being put into place. I'm very excited. I love to teach. And yeah, I can teach people how to do the work that I do. And my students are fucking potent. They are very skilled, even at level one. If you go to my academy and you go on the menu, k33academy.com, go on the menu and click on student testimonials. There is a testimonial there of one of my students who helped their mother with their lungs. I'm so proud of her. So she shares the experience. Her mom had to go into the hospital because she was struggling with COVID. This was back in 2020. And this wasn't even my certification program yet. This was just a smaller 4-hour workshop where I taught this information. And her mom was hospitalized because of pneumonia. And then she decided to try some of the techniques on her mom from home. She wasn't in the hospital. Remember, 2020, we're not allowed to be in the hospital with the patients, right? We have to stay home. So she did that. And before she did that, if I remember right, her mom was told by the doctor that based on her condition, the presentation indicates that her mom would need to be hospitalized for another week. She did this work. Her mom fell asleep during the work. And then the following morning, after my student did this work on her mother, the doctor came in and told her mother she can go home that day. I fucking love it. I love it. Yeah. So I can teach people how to do this. I know how to, you know, get people to really live up to their potential. Yeah. So I have quite a few different programs and different options if you want to learn how to actually help people with their conditions, their circumstance. I teach all of that. So this system, it was created by me. It's based off of my memories from previous existences. And this is stuff that you won't find anywhere else. Nowhere else. And I teach people how to do this. It's a very intense program. The certification program is 40 hours long. So, and it's all live instruction. Live instruction, complete with live clinical, meaning you're working on each other and I'm watching, I'm observing, I'm making sure that you are doing things in a safe manner. It's a very controlled environment. And the way the program works, because I have created a quantum divergent learning system, I'm able to teach anyone even through learning disabilities and things like that. I'm able to teach you in such a way where even if you don't study from the last day of class until your final exam, your one-on-one final exam, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect the outcome. It becomes second nature to you. It's a part of you. Thank you, Blissful. Blissful says, and we love it. No, it's not only for medical stuff. It also involves quite a bit of like, what's it called? Life coaching, spiritual coaching. It also involves how to defend yourself, your client. I teach how to create a sterile field from which to work on people. You will never be using your own energy. Mm-mm. I teach you how to do it without using cords. Unless people are doing it in the way that I'm teaching, they're cording into you to move energy around. It's like wearing someone else's used underwear, fresh off of them. No, we don't do that. So final thing I'll share. On the 8-8 portal, I was live for almost 7 hours straight. You guys notice how, yeah, I was starting to get sleepy, but I wasn't tired. I was still pushing energy like crazy, right? I was able to work on a shit ton of people that night. Oh my God, there were so many people that I had to work on. I was live for nearly 7 hours. How was I able to do that? Pushing 50 years old because the system I use, the system I teach, it does not deplete you in any way, shape, or form. Your energy remains intact. You. I'm going to be featuring my students soon because they're fucking badasses too. I'm not just saying that as, you know, a way to promote my academy. Like, no, I'm saying that as a fucking proud ass professor. Each one of them. Oh, I fucking love them. I love my graduates. I do. They make me so proud. Not only were they able to push through their own fears, their own insecurities, their thoughts of their limitations, they did it with integrity. They did it ethically. They make me so proud. So, 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 so proud. Go to my website, k33academy.com, and you'll be able to see all the stuff that you need to see. Okay.